Today, our scriptural affirmation comes from Isaiah, the very famous chapter of scripture, 53, Isaiah 53. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?
For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form, no comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire.
He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not.
Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted.
But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed.
All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all.
He was oppressed, and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth.
He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken.
And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth.
Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand.
He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities.
Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. He bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors.
Father, we praise you. You have made a way for us where there seemed to be no way. You have delivered us when we did not deserve to be delivered. Today, Lord, we ask that you would show yourself strong on behalf of your children. That you would open our eyes, that you would open our hearts, that we would receive from you all that you want to share with us this day, so that you might be glorified, your name might be magnified, the body of Christ might be edified. Oh God, you are great, and we are thankful. I am so glad that I can be here with my brothers and sisters to worship you. So, Lord, speak to us. We need you. Thank you for being here this day. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Come, Christ.
What's so good about that song, what's so good about that thought is that he is here. When we know, when we plead for him to hear us, he does. It's really interesting in Psalm 116, which I had no intention of going to, but Psalm 116 says something that really strikes me because it's how I feel about our wondrous, amazing, great God. It says, I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. See, when we cry earth to God, when we cry David to God, are you listening? When we cry, he hears. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. He's listened to me. Therefore, will I call upon him as long as I live. Sorrows of death compassed me. It felt like death was all around me. You ever feel that way? Sometimes you go around and all these people with mourner shrouds on, and you feel like death is all around you. And you say, the sorrows of death compassed me. The pains of hell got hold upon me. My mind wasn't right any longer. Got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow then. Called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yes, our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. Well, he's got me there. The Lord preserves the simple. I was brought low and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul. For the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? He's blessed me so. What should I give? What should I do? What should I do? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem. Praise ye the Lord. Father, today I praise you. I call upon you and I know that you hear. I call upon you and I remember what you have done. I call upon you and expect you to act. I call upon you and realize you've been here all along. You told me you would never leave me nor forsake me. You told me that you should keep me. You told me that if I seek you, that you would show yourself strong. Have your way in this day, Lord. Speak clearly to us so that we may know that we know that we know you, and we may believe that we believe you know us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Isaiah 53 is where we want to go today. Isaiah 53 is just a wonderful reminder of how great God is. He is amazing. He is wonderful. There is really none other like him. I tell you. And sometimes we think we know him. We kind of think we know him and we talk about him pretty well and all of that. But I saw a meme a couple times this last couple weeks that was pretty interesting. At first, I laughed and chuckled, and I guess I still laugh and chuckle a little bit, but there was something about it that really struck me. There was on the internet there, on Facebook, this little kid, apparently it's the mom, saying, what's the name of God? Do you know who God is? And with all seriousness, the child says, Howard. Howard? God's name is Howard? Well, yeah. Well, how do you know his name is Howard? Well, Howard be thy name? Our Father who art in heaven, Howard be thy name. Do you think we might know God kind of like that? Do you think we've heard so much stuff about God and we've never stopped to really think what God really means? Have we stopped to analyze and understand the words that we speak, or are we just speaking the rote, and sometimes not even the right rote? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. No, it's hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Do we really mean that, or have we just said it so many times and heard others say it, and it kind of rolls out of our mouth, and when we say it in a crowd, we don't have to say it so distinctly, so nobody really notices where we're really at, and we kind of look the part, we kind of look good. I mean, we've got that church look, you know, straighten our shoulders a little bit and stand up and proudly say stuff. And it's just stuff if we don't know what we're saying. It's just stuff if we don't attach the right meaning to the words. And so today we look at one of the more famous, from a worldly standpoint, one of the more famous sections of Scripture, so that we stop and think about, today we're going to get free. Today we are going to know that we know Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, or purposely walk away. I'm not leaving you any in between. This we ought to hear what these words are saying. I like how 53 begins. It says, who hath believed our report? Who hath believed our doctrine? Who hath believed the things that we're saying? Who has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Who has seen his strength? Who knows him? Who has seen his power, felt his presence? Who? You know, one of the interesting things, this is a part of one of the servant songs that are in Isaiah. This is the fourth one, and it really starts a few verses back. Let's go back to Isaiah 52, and we'll start at verse 13. It says, behold means pay attention, look at this, listen, hear. Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He will be wise. He will be amazing. He will be something special. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. There will come a time when people recognize that every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's my Lord. That's the God I'm talking about. That's the one whom I'm going to serve. That's the one that I'm trying to tell you about this day. As many were stonied at thee, they were like amazed when they saw him on earth. They looked at him. His visage was so marred more than any man. You know, before he went to the cross, he suffered a number of different trials or almost trials, and he had suffered so very much. He had spent the night praying so hard that blood came out of his pores where there should have been sweat. He was in pain and hurting, and after his skin was so tenderized, his very friend came up to him and kissed him, identifying him to his enemies so that he could be taken away and tried and talked down to and beaten, and all of these things happened to him, and it was something, and they take him to this trial, and so finally they say, "Ah, see, you're blaspheming." And then they hand him over to the Roman authorities. And when they hand him over to the Roman authorities, he has him whipped because he doesn't want to kill him. He just wants to show that he has no power. And he whips him and he beats him and he tears at his skin and he rips at his skin. And he is so much of a bloody mess that he doesn't even look like a man. He doesn't look human anymore. This one who was born of a virgin, who lived a sinless life, this one who grew up without sin, this one who did great things in a very public ministry, who had been nailed to the cross. His form more than the sons of men, he was a mess. So shall he sprinkle many nations. His blood is going to cover. His blood is going to be sprinkled. His blood covers so very many. The kings shall shut their mouths at him when they recognize who he is. Oh, wow. What have we done? For that which had not been told them, they shall see, and that which they had not heard shall they consider. And that takes us to 53:1. Who hath believed our report? Who has believed what our doctrine is saying? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant. He's just a normal guy. He's just another weak human, it seems. He's just a tender plant as the root out of a dry ground. He's in the midst of a society that's a mess and doesn't seem to be fertile at all, doesn't seem to have any life in it. He is born and he comes up, but there he is. He has no form nor comeliness. That word form is the same word used for Rachel in the Old Testament because she was fine. It's the same word that was used for Joseph because he was a good-looking man. He didn't have that. He was just like, well, me and you. He was just an average kind of person. He hath no form or comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. There's nothing here that made him seem special from the outside. He is despised and rejected of men, despised It doesn't tell you why he was despised, but I kind of have one little theory. It may not hold up, but one thing was is that, you know, when you were a kid, didn't you always hate to be around Jimmy? You know, Jimmy is the guy that everybody says you should be like Jimmy. I wanted to take Jimmy around the barn and beat him. You know, I want to be, you know, just because I can't be him. I'm not him. I'm not his. I don't have his strength. I don't have his wisdom. I don't have his looks. I don't have his girls. I don't have Jimmy. I'm not Jimmy. And I think everybody looked and they said, be like Jesus. No. They despised him. They rejected him. And just think how much it must have hurt. Just think how much the Jimmies of the world hurt. You know, that nice kid, that kid that everybody, that didn't have any friends because everybody thought he was a goody two-shoes. That nobody wanted to play with or wanted to be with because he reflected how messed up everybody was. He was rejected and despised. He was a man of sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. Do you think Jesus was acquainted with grief? He knew that his mission was to come down and save people that were a mess, people that were sinners, people that had done horrible things, people that were living lifestyles that they had no desire to give up, people that were like us. And he came to send them the message that God so loved the world that he would die for them. Despised, rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. We couldn't, no, don't want to hear that. He was despised and we esteemed him not. But surely, for sure, he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. He did that for me. He did that for you. Yet we did esteem him stricken. We looked at him. You know, you ever see somebody who something happens to him and you kind of blame it on them? They haven't done anything. Well, if he hadn't been such and such, that would have never happened to him. You know, if he were truly a holy man, he wouldn't have to deal with this situation. If he were truly righteous, well, and there, that's what they were saying. They were saying that he wasn't all that. Even after all of the things that he had done, they looked at him. Verse 5 says, he was wounded for our transgressions, for the things that I did wrong, for the way that I stepped over the line, for the way that I messed up. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, for the sin that I chose to do. He was pierced, he was hurt, he was damaged because of that. He carried all of that, the chastisement of our peace, my ability to have shalom, my ability to be at rest with God, my ability to live a life of confidence, knowing that I am going to heaven. All of that comes because of what he did. It was him. With his stripes, can you hear those stripes? Can you hear that whipping? With every blow, with every pain, with every hurt, I'm getting better. He's taking it all. He's doing it for me. Oh, thank you, Lord, you're taking my pain. I deserve that. With his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. Sheep just wander. They can just wander and wander. They have to be corralled in. We like sheep have gone astray and turned every one of us to his own way. We just kind of do what we want. If it feels good, we've done it. We're finding a way that we can do it and nobody find out. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. All that you've done. All that you know you've done. Forget about me putting some trip on you. All that you know you've done. He's taken all of that and put it on Jesus. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He did not complain, even though he was taking on my pain. That's the pain that I deserve. That's the pain that I treasure it up for myself. But he took it all, and all to him I owe. Sin has left a bloody stain, but he's left me white as snow, cleansed, pure. He didn't complain. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb. Doesn't say anything, even though I am gaining from what he has done and who he is. He doesn't complain. He doesn't say anything. When Jesus was there and before Herod, he didn't say anything. He refused to address that situation. As a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who shall declare his generation? Will you? Will you? I mean, you need to think about that. Will you share with because the people at that moment didn't speak up? Are we better than them? Are we wiser than them? Do we have the fear of the Lord working in our hearts more than they did? The fear of the Lord is beginning of wisdom. Maybe we'll be wise enough to share the truth of the gospel. Maybe we'll be wise enough to share the truth. Maybe we'll be wise enough to receive him. Maybe we'll be wise enough to know that we need him. Maybe we'll be wise enough to recognize who he is. Maybe we've seen enough, heard enough, felt enough, experienced enough to know that God has called us by his power. That he has initiated a relationship with us. He has started something. Maybe it's time for us to get it. Maybe it's time for us to understand. Maybe we'll get it now. Hmm. He was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. He died. He died. You need to understand, he went into the tomb. He was dead. He was on the cross. He pillowed his head and said, "It is finished." He gave up the ghost. He was done. He had already said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" This is what it feels like, but I need the whole world to understand that I'm doing this for a purpose. So look in Psalm 22 and you can see that he was doing this so that he could declare the goodness and grace of the Lord and his absolute devotion to God. And we're being called to give devotion ourselves. Give yourself. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, give yourself a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. That's just your reasonable service. Don't you be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you might prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Don't you get sidetracked and don't think too highly of yourself. Don't think too highly of your amusements. Don't think too highly of the stuff in your life. Don't think too highly of that stuff. Let it go. Let it go so that you might receive the goodness and grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today, he wants to move in your heart. He was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people, for our mess. For us. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Joseph of Arimathea. A secret disciple, at least to this point. Says, "I want to put him in my tomb." He was a rich man. And he was there in tombs with all these people around that were all sinners. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death because he had done no violence. Neither was any deceit in his mouth. He told us the truth. He was the truth. He is the truth. He is the way, the truth, the life. Yet this one blows me away. It pleased the Lord, talking about the Father now. It satisfied the Father to bruise him. What is this? Is this some kind of cosmic child abuse? I've heard people say things like that. Is that what this is? He's happy that Jesus is being bruised, damaged, beaten, pierced, hurt? Is that what this is? He hath put him to grief. No. No, he was getting the job done. Because our sin needed to be paid for. How would it be if for the rest of your life, like the sword of Damocles, your sin is hanging over you and you never know when that little thread holding that sword back was going to break and swing and kill you? How would you want it to be that you never knew if you got enough done to satisfy. You never knew if you would escape the rightful things that should come to you. You never knew if there was something past this life. How would you feel if you never knew? You never knew. The only way you could know is if you were convinced that your sin had been absolutely, definitively, for once and all, forever paid for. For once and forever paid for. And it had to be somebody that could pay for it, that had the wherewithal to do it. What would be the wherewithal? Would it be lots and lots of money? No, that won't do it. Would it be real brainy person? No, that won't do it. Maybe it'll be really good acts. Our good acts are as filthy rags. No, that wouldn't do it. It had to be the lamb, the one who was a perfect lamb, the one who was a perfect sin offering, the one who was clean and righteous and was perfect. He is the one that could pay it all. All to him I owe. All to him. He paid it all with his blood. The drops of blood coming down, cleansing me. With every drop, I have been cleansed. He has changed me. He has made us different. I am clean because of what he has done for me. And all I had to do was receive. And all you have to do is receive the truth. All you have to do is take that truth and receive what has already been done. It's something that has been finished. It is something that you just have to say, it's mine because he gave it, not mine because I earned it, not mine because I was strong, not mine. In fact, I didn't think I could have it at all. If the truth be told, I thought that I was past the ability to ever get it right. If the truth be told, I thought I was too far gone. If the truth be told, I didn't think anything could grasp me, but now I realize that the blood of Christ, it cleanses me, that the one who is perfect died for me so that I might have eternal life, that I might live forever and ever and ever and ever. And in spite of the little things that go on here that make me try to forget about that, the truth is, I am his. I am his, and he is mine. He is God. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Ah, the pleasure of the Lord. May we give him pleasure this day. He shall see the travail of his soul. It hurt. It was rough. And shall be satisfied. It was enough. He didn't come up short. He's satisfied. By his knowledge, His intimate knowledge, his relationship with him, shall my righteous servant justify many. We can be justified by having a relationship with him. I know we remember our mess, but he still wants to bless. I know. This is almost beyond belief. But he still loves us. He shall bear their iniquities. No. He shall bear my iniquities. He shall bear your iniquities. Jesus paid it all. Therefore, will I divide a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. Hallelujah. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and Mickey and all the rest. He bore my soul. He bore your soul. And made intercession for the transgressors. He made intercession for us. Hallelujah. Celebrate with me today because he's good. Celebrate with me today because there's none other like him. Celebrate with me today because just by receiving him, we can have the joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Celebrate today because there's none other like him. Celebrate today. Today you celebrate by receiving him. Celebrate today by believing him. Celebrate today. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. If this has been the word of God, your life needs to change. You need to be made different. You need to receive him and believe him and allow him to have the pleasure of being your God. Today is the day. Do not wait. Would you bow your head with me? This is a prayer that you might want to pray. Ooh, dear Father, I thank you that Jesus died on the cross, and in doing so, he paid for my sin. I now receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, so that forever I can be assured I am his and he is mine. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me, for changing me, and for helping me by grace to go on. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.